Prisons and prisoners' letters under the communist-era normalisation of the 1970s and 1980s is the subject of this edition of Czech History. For the political prisoners that resulted from the communist crackdown following the 1968 Soviet-led invasion, those letters were a vital link with the outside world, not just to family and friends, but also their supporters worldwide. Many of the prisoners' letters, most famously Václav Havel's letters to Olga, were published. Some saw the light of day almost instantaneously in the covert undercover Samizdat publications that circulated in the underground opposition to communism, and some were published abroad. Many, though, were solely between the sender and close family, with the ever-present censor watching over the private process. Those prisoners' letters, for which no overall collection sadly exists in the Czech Republic, was recently the subject of an interdisciplinary colloquium organised by the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes in Prague. To understand the letters, though, you have to understand the Czechoslovak context in the 20 years before the collapse of communism. For that, I spoke to one of the participants in the colloquium, historian Prokop Tomek, who explained how conditions in the prison system were relaxed and improved during the 1960s.
During the 40 years of communist regime, the rules were changed very, very much. And at the beginning, at the time of 50s, the prisoner system was under the Ministry of Interior. But in 1968... like the part of reforms of Prague Spring, the communistic system, the prisoner system was subordinate to the Ministry of Justice. It was better for life of political prisoners, but of course, all the time it was part of the totalitarian regime. So it was all the time well observed by State Security Service and other services of communist regime and security service.
The prisoners themselves changed a lot over time. By the 1970s, political prisoners, as they could be called, though the term was never recognised by the regime, were a fairly small proportion of the incarcerated total. Prokop Tomek again.
The main part of prisoners were people who committed some crimes, ordinary crimes, and the other part were, after the World War II, the one big part were people who were sentenced for war crimes and for the collaboration with Nazi regime. And in the 50s, the third big part of prisoners were the people who were sentenced for from the political reason. And the difference between the 50s and 70s and 80s was that 70s and 80s were only a few people who were sentenced for political reasons. We know about 5,000 of people who were in jail from political reasons during the 70s and 80s, compared to the 50s when it was about 150,000 of people.
By the normalisation era, prisons were divided into categories according to the seriousness of the crime and whether you were a repeat offender.
There were three levels. The first level was the slight. It was for the first punished people. The second was for the repeat punished people, and third was for the hardest crimes. But for example, the well-known Ivan Martin Jirous, he wasn't criminal, of course. He disturbed the regime. He was jailed for political reasons. He also was sentenced to serve his term in jail in third, the hardest level, with the people who committed killings, for example. Yes, it was in Valdice. It was the one of the hardest and worst jail in Czechoslovakia.
Ivan Martin Jirous was a famous underground poet who joined the ranks of the so-called dissidents. Although conditions had improved since the 1950s, when food was only given to those in labour camps who fulfilled their work quotas, prison labour was still used as a form of punishment.
Most part of people who were sentenced for political reasons were in the first category. But of course, some of them, for example, Jiří Gruntorát, the founder of Liberty Prohibitive Library, was forced to be in second level, and it was not. It was there were very very bad conditions from because there were very very complicated work. The people in jail were forced to work very hard, and their results in work influenced the amount of food which they could give in jail. There were not too many torture in 70s and 80s in jails in Czechoslovakia, but there were some tools which were not violent but very strong, and they influenced very bad the life in conditions of people in jail.
Jiří Gruntorád was the founder of an underground publishing house who, after the fall of communism, created a collection of those publications in a library in Prague. Conditions, though, between prisons varied a lot, with the overall regulations pretty vague.
It depended conditions in jail on the administration. If somewhere were the people, like the director of prison, who was some, let's say, not so stupid, as some generous person, the people could live better. And so it was not only issue of rules and system, but also it depended on people.
Prison letters were one of the few forms of communication with the outside world, but it was a tenuous link and one governed by a lot of very uncertain restrictions, which every new prisoner would struggle to understand and exploit. Petro Časlavová is a professor at the Institute of Czech Literature, who has specialised in the study of prisoners' letters. She outlined some of the constraints.
Z hlediska formální stránky tak byla celá řada omezení. Například bylo přesně.
From a formal point of view, there were a whole series of limitations. For example, it was laid down how many letters those serving a sentence could send, to whom the letters could be addressed, and it also stated what size the letters could be. That was just the formal aspect. As regards the content, there were a whole range of other conditions. Basically, it was only possible for the prisoner to write about family matters. In no circumstance was it possible to write about the conditions within the prison or about the state of other prisoners. It was forbidden to use foreign phrases or series of numbers and such like. Of course, some of the censure was stricter and all use of humour was punished. Ivan Martin Jiros characterised the writing of prison letters as a literary task when you had to write something but were not able to.
Jako literární úkol, jak něco napsat, i když člověk vlastně nic napsat nemůže.
Censorship was a certainty, with the secret police, the STB, taking a particular interest in the communications of political prisoners. But the censorship was haphazard, and prisoners sought ways to get round the limits and get as much into their letters as possible. After all, they were often kept separate from other political prisoners and did not have that much in common with the ordinary criminals. Dissident Petruška Šustrová recalled that most of her fellow prisoners were prostitutes, and their shared life experiences did not mean they had that much in common to talk about. Letters, though, were a fragile link with the outside. Petra Časlavová again.
Každý ten dopis, jak ten odchozí či i příchozí, procházel ústavní cenzurou.
All the letters, both those being sent from the prison and those arriving, underwent some form of censorship by the authorities. If the censor decided there was a problem with a letter and it was only a small portion of the letter, then it could be blacked out and the letter could be sent on. If it was a large chunk of the letter, then it might not be handed over at all, or only the part that was not regarded as problematic would be read out to the prisoner. The situation was also very demanding for prisoners in the sense that censorship could sometimes last a very long time, even though that broke the prison rules which stipulated that it should be carried out within 5 days. That rule was often broken, and the letter could take a very long time to get through, and it could take up to a month. That meant that prisoners simply sometimes did not know if a letter had gone astray or had just been placed in their personal prison file and they knew nothing about it, which was itself against the prison rules.
O něm vůbec nemusel dozvědět, což opět bylo porušení vězeňských řádů.
Former dissident and later Minister of the Interior following the fall of communism, Jan Rommel, recounted how messages from his family were smuggled in on the cardboard of bars of chocolate that were allowed to be sent to him. Others circumvented censorship through the letters themselves, though this could be a hazardous venture.
Samozřejmě dařilo vězňům do dopisů zařazovat třeba
Some prisoners were able to include in their letters some types of ciphers, codes or signals, which could usually be understood by those closest to them, their family. So the cipher could be, for example, some reference to a past event in the family life. But of course, it was not certain that the family member would understand what the reference was about. There is, for example, the case of when Ivan Martin Jiroz wrote to his wife Juliana from prison, telling her to get the typewriter repaired. He meant her to understand that she should get rid of it so it could not be used to incriminate him for spreading Samizdat publications, but she took him literally and she got the typewriter repaired. Also, one way to get round censorship used to by some political prisoners was to use a form of sophisticated intellectual writing. The censors were used to dealing with the letters of ordinary criminal prisoners, and all of a sudden they got these letters from intellectuals and highly educated people. This was the case, for example, of the letters of Václav Havel. They soon twigged that when they used this type of intellectual writing, that the censor could not cope and could not read and censor the letters and often let them through. Havel later admitted that he used this type of Heidegger writing deliberately. But there was another side to the coin. That was when the censor believed that some code or signals were being used in a letter when they were not at all. One prisoner, for example, said he had the flu, and this was interpreted as a signal to the outside world, when it was just a bare statement of fact. For this reason, some prisoners had their letters confiscated and were victimized without a real reason.
Nebyli schopni vůbec takové texty číst, natož cenzurovat.
Some prisoners, such as Havel, were aware that their letters were not just for close friends and family, but would reach a much wider Czechoslovak and international audience, and that probably had a role in shaping their style and format as well. Petra Časlavová.
Často třeba někteří pisatelé už, když psali ten dopis z vězení, tak
some of the prisoners, when they were writing their letters, knew that they would be read by other friends and by the wider community and perhaps get into foreign hands. In this case, they were to a certain extent stylized and demonstrated certain literary ambitions. Prison letters during that time became established as a certain genre of the flourishing Samizdat literature. They came in collections of prison letters or as individual letters in Samizdat magazines or in publications by Charter 77. The correspondence was important then for two reasons. The first was their informative nature that described to a circle of friends how the prisoner was getting on and his or her condition. The second important asset and reason why they were made public and circulated was that they were a key for the organization of national and international solidarity.